That show that we watched a couple episodes of, Manimal, could he turn into any animal?
I forget what the rules of Manimal were, but I imagine so, right?
It seemed like he just mainly turned into, like, big cats, right?
I mean, yeah, but his name is Manimal. One would think that that, right, like, really, like, leaves you open to anything.
I agree with you.
It seemed like a sort of, like, one of those shows where it's, like, a white person gets some sort of, like,
mystic Native American power.
Native American, yeah, benefit. Like, or, I don't know where he got it. It might have been South America, or I forget.
Science. So, according to Wikipedia, mm-hmm, Manimal... It's very vague as to how Manimal gained the ability to turn into animals. According
to
this,
tell me that they stopped at the gimmick pun title, yeah, and they didn't think the lore out?
Yeah, I'm starting to think they didn't think this through. It just says something like he traveled throughout the world and learned the secrets that divide man from animal. But like, sure, what the fuck does that mean?
It implies, yeah, just, that if we also learned those secrets,
right,
we would could do be it. Able to... We could be Manimals ourselves, or
yes,
Womanimals, as would be might be the case.
Thanks, woke
culture. It does drop like a lot of, like, he was in Africa and Tibet,
right? So he learned like the mystic secrets of all, yes, the third world countries. According to this, in almost every episode, he turned into a panther or hawk. So those two seem to be the big ones.
Do you think
it's like the worst
part of
animal
that
ever
is just? Those are the ones that they could, like, get the most consistently.
Those were, like, probably, like, the trained animals that they had access, yeah, to at this, yeah, point. Like,
yeah.
What really are the two best trained animals? Bear. Those guys. That's right. Bear.
gotta get a bear. Welcome to another episode of Why Did We Watch This, the podcast where three friends sit down, watch a nice movie. Well, sorry, wait, I stopped that, reverse it. Watch a bad movie, have a nice drink.
Watch a nice movie.
Watch a nice movie, have a terrible drink, we all throw up. talk about what was good, what was bad, how we can all do it better.
We would make it worse.
We would make it worse, exactly.
this is our opposite day special.
We're here this week with another mini episode. We'll be hyping up the movie we'll be doing in 2 weeks for our next main episode, and we'll have a little discussion afterwards. So in 2 weeks, before we get into that, I am your host for this week, Lee Delahanty.
I am Brandon Drischler.
And I'm Chris Ravel.
The other one.
Awesome. Yeah. Now we all know who we are. I forgot, so that was good to do a reminder.
It's, mm-hmm, nice that we all have our names on the corner of Zoom, so when I look at you, I can remember what your names are.
I forgot my name, and it came out of my mouth, and now I remember.
And I'm always forgetting my name until I am reminded of it when I'm asked on this podcast.
So. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good, it's a good, like, mental check-in with yourself. So in 2 weeks, we will be doing 2000's Love's Labor's Lost, directed, mm-hmm, starring... by Kenneth Branagh. Not written. He can't claim that he wrote this one.
Did he perhaps adapt it? He is listed as a writer.
Well, I guess he did write
the original writer. Yes.
I suppose if you're like cutting lines and adding scenes here and there, you right, just, yeah, adapt it.
Hacked down to 90 minutes by Kenneth Branagh.
Hacked down.
They do change up some of the dialogue, right?
Like, yeah, I mean, to be fair, there's just an awful... Most Shakespeare, you can lose about... I would say a third of the play.
Oh, I would agree with you, yes. There are often, shall we say, subplots that, while I'm sure were very charming to audiences in the 1600s, I could care less about. So
they had to fill more time back then, right, because they didn't have streaming services or video games or anything else to do. So it was just like, get you in the theater and get your money's worth of entertainment.
You have to sell peanuts to these idiots.
But yeah, we got quite the cast in this movie. We got Kenneth Branagh, Nathan, mm-hmm, Lane, Adrian Lester, Matthew Lillard. And others. Many
Alicia
others.
Silverstone.
Ball. Yeah, I'm just going in order, but yeah, some of the bigger names are at the bottom.
Emily Mortimer.
So that should be a good episode all around. I mean, we've all seen this.
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
I
actually have a lot of affection for this movie.
I have a lot of affection for it. I wasn't going to claim it on behalf of everyone, but I was going to say, at least for me, it's a special place in my heart.
I think it's, it's really enjoyable, but I do recognize it is a very flawed...
Yeah.
Blood creation.
I mean, yeah, it's Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah. Right. It can only be so good.
I really feel like by the end of this podcast season, we'll all be functional scholars in the career of Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah.
I mean, right. It does feel like at this point, we must have done surely half of his filmography at this point.
Mm-hmm. Like,
it surely
it's
must
been a
have.
Lot.
Yeah.
I kind of want to look that up at some point because I don't think he's directed that many movies.
I mean, we haven't watched like the critically acclaimed Shakespeare ones.
That's true. We're not liable to do like ones. Hamlet or Much Ado or like Henry V. I mean, we're not liable to do Henry V because histories are boring. Who the fuck cares?
But anyway, we'll be doing that in 2 weeks. We will need a drink to go along with this movie. What are we drinking?
Well, we will be drinking. Let me pull it up. I had opened Kenneth Branagh on another window. We will be drinking a cocktail called I Get No Kick from Champagne. Mere alcohol doesn't thrill us at all. It is sparkling white wine and a honey peach simple syrup that I made. The honey peach simple syrup is obviously very straightforward. I used water and then one part sugar and one part honey because I ran out of all sugar. And I had gone peach picking this past weekend and have a bunch of peaches that are rapidly going overripe. So I cut them up, dumped them in, strained them out, and now we've got some honey peach simple syrup, and you're just going to take two parts of chilled sparkling white wine and one part honey peach simple syrup, mix them together gently in a champagne flute, and that's it. It could not be simpler. It literally could not be simpler.
It's so simple.
Could not.
Very simple, very powerful.
Yes, very simple, but very powerful.
Sorry.
Very demure.
That's a joke just for Brendan.
Just for us.
In this case.
For three people. A joke for three people.
Listen, I had a physics teacher in college, and every time we learned a new formula, he would frequently describe it as very simple, very powerful.
I think I still have that like fake motivational poster you made somewhere of that quote.
Very simple, very powerful.
Physics, very simple, very powerful.
Very simple, very powerful. The other thing I took away from that class, and I'm sure he's proud to know that this is all I retain, is that there's like the thing about the model in high heel shoes versus an elephant and who would break the stage. And
I remember you talking about this
because
too.
Of the pressure.
And it's being all concentrated in one point.
Yeah.
Right? That's the deal.
That's right. Yep. That's why elephants are better than models.
Yep. Good times.
You heard it here.
It's why we use elephants to sell all of our products.
Mm-hmm. Like
they're in all the major
purposes.
Ad campaigns.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's what we'll be doing in 2 weeks. For this week, I wanted to discuss something. I forget what precipitated this at. Did some movie recently come out? Yes, Borderlands. Borderlands.
Oh, is that what? Yeah.
Fucking Borderlands.
Borderlands came out
and we forgot about it so quickly.
Yeah.
Well, it could not have been more dead on arrival.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
It was instantly panned.
I mean, as soon as I saw the casting, I was like, well, this is going to suck hard.
Yeah. It's a very weird choice for basically everyone involved. They either don't match their character well, or it's like a Cate Blanchett where I'm like, what are you doing here?
Yeah,
like,
she apparently said that she did it because it was during COVID and she was like going crazy without something to do. And so she just decided to be in Borderlands, apparently. I guess that's better than losing your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway,
at least
Borderlands
she'll get paid for it.
Came out and we all agree, big dumpster fire.
Yeah, souped.
And it brought up an old sort of pet peeve fire raised within me about the issue with why the fuck do all these video game movies suck ass?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what happens when a new video game movie comes out and sucks, as is always the case, pretty much 100%
almost
of the time,
always the case. Yeah.
Everyone who likes video games is like, stop trying to do it. You can't. They're meant to be video games. And I'm like, no, you're wrong. Incorrect. It is Hollywood that is wrong. It is the people making these movies who are wrong. Or Uwe Boll, depending on what year we're talking or what movie it is. But it's not like anything can be adapted into anything else successfully. To say that like video games are like, you're not special video games. Like you're just like anything else. There are things you can do that movies can't do. And there are things movies can do that video games can't do.
Right.
But
it's
why?
It's just another form of media.
Yeah. So why? Why do they all suck? Let's talk.
One of my theories personally is I think a lot of times when a video game is being adapted, what needs to happen to make it successful is because it's coming from a... Like, yes, video games technically carry a form of narrative, but many that get chosen for movie adaptation because they're so popular are usually mechanic heavy, narrative light. And I think if you're going to make it work, what you need to do is you adapt the setting. And I think you typically need to be ready to maybe fill in a story where there maybe was not much of one before. I think when like fighting games, like
Street
DOA, Street Fighter, VOA, like,
War is canceled?
I can't think of a third one. But they, like, they suck because all that's really being adapted is what if some crazy characters fought? And that's not bad, but that's not a story. And, like, as much as I enjoy those, like, early crunchy Mortal Kombats, they're, like, more so bad it's good, and there really isn't a story. It's really just, like, you know, what if some people who could throw fireballs fought? That'd be cool.
I have a counter theory. Maybe we can all, if we all have a theory, Brendan, if you have one, I don't know.
Let me hear your, I don't know that I do. Let me hear, I think, well, if I have one, it's probably close to Chris. But
my theory is not helpful to say. My short but unhelpful theory is that there is no one cause why they all suck, but there are, in fact, multiple symptoms happening.
Yeah, right.
So I agree that in some cases this is the case, but there are also cases where games with very strong narratives get adapted and still suck. Case in point, Prince of Persia: Sands of Time, one of the best early video game narratives for, like, the era, very sophisticated storytelling, good sort of twisty time, twisty plot. Assassin's Creed had any number of good narratives to pull from. And I know that it chose to make its own, which I think is also a very valid choice. I think of any franchise that was going to, like, do a movie set in the world of Assassin's Creed, but not be about any of the games, that's pretty much any Assassin's Creed game doing that anyways. There are the most games, I think are like three or four, are about Desmond, and maybe Ezio has a lot because we fucking loved Ezio so much. And Altair, and people love Altair because he's the OG, but, like, that's just, like, one option. There is also, like, the Victorian one, and there's the pirate one. We like the pirate one. We like Edward. There's so many characters in that you could have made a movie about any of them. I think it was valid for Assassin's Creed the movie to do its own narrative, but it still sucked. The video that I watched basically described the movie as, like, a two-hour prologue to a video game. the movie is basically, like, somebody stuck in the big bad evil corporation, Abstergo. This is not going to make sense if you don't know anything about the world, but it doesn't really matter. And it just sort of ends with them breaking out, and it's like, that's it. That's when the game starts. It's like you've gotten out of the training zone. So, like, they don't accomplish much of anything in the movie. But yeah, that's already two different things. And I think there are other things. Like, I think Borderlands, again, there was this need to cast big names, even when they made no fucking sense. Or when they were like, they made some kind of weird, twisted Hollywood exec sense. Like, oh, Jack Black's wacky. Claptrap, the robot, is wacky. Make him Claptrap. And it's like, no, Jack, that's not the vibe fit at all. You need like a neurotic, high-pitched character, like a sort of Charlie Day would have been a better Claptrap if you were going to do that.
He would have been perfect casting.
All of them were so old for these, like, basically at best 30-year-olds characters. Most of them were in their 20s.
Do you think the logic was something like, well, we're adapting a video game, which we already probably on some level look down upon or kind of see that as, like, lesser, right? So they're like, what's going to make non-video game fans come and see this? I know, we're just going to stuff it with a bunch of recognizable names. Does it matter if these people have any business playing the characters we cast them as? No, it doesn't.
I have no idea, but I'll tell you what Borderlands people don't care about, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah. Or Cate Blanchett.
Yeah. But yeah, those are like three. There's others, I think, but those are the three examples of things where they, places where these movies go wrong already.
Yeah, I think, Lee, when we were like briefly talking about this a couple weeks ago, or whatever, before we decided to do this, we kind of came to the conclusion that, like, there's probably not going to be a hard and fast answer or rule for something like this. Like, there's not going to be, like, we're not going to be able to walk away from this being like, these are all bad because of X. It's like, they're all bad because, like you said, casting, an inability to translate the story, a lack of desire to translate the story. I mean, so as someone who's not really, like, much of a gamer, a lot of this is probably kind of, like, lost on me. But I guess something I would wonder, and I'm not saying that this is definitely the case, but this is something I kind of wonder. I know, and again, this is the year of our Lord 2024, and as I said, this is not always the case, but, like, for a long time, video game protagonists were passive by default because they wanted you to be able to sort of imprint yourself onto them. So, you know, like, when you're playing Mario, you're not really, like, Mario doesn't have, like, a personality. Link doesn't have a personality beyond, like, you know, like, scrappy little guy trying to do the right thing, that sort of thing. So I kind of wonder, is that, like, kind of a common problem with some of these two? Like, is that an issue at all with Prince of Persia?
No. Okay. Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, is narrated by the prince, and he's a very sort of eloquent, sort of witty guy. He's a strong person. That's a type of video game protagonist where they're like a cipher and they don't speak, or you're meant to sort of insert yourself. There's a type where you have full control over your responses. Like in Zelda and Mario, you have no need to speak.
Right.
So you're like maybe saying yes or no to certain things.
Right.
But that's it. There's games like Disco Elysium where you don't have you're sort of like you're not your own person. You are Harry Dubois.
Right. You're this character.
You can't not be Harry Dubois, but you do have full control over what Harry Dubois' reactions to all of these situations are, and there's a lot of it's choice based dialogue, but there's a lot of ranges of how you could be like a nice cop, you could be a fucking asshole, you could be drunk, you could be sober. There's all these options. So there's different like ways of making you care about a character. Or there are games like I haven't played God of War. I'm just gonna say that as an example, where like Kratos, you don't really like Kratos is just Kratos. You're playing Kratos. Yeah. You're just along. You're piloting him through this narrative where he's got a son who's Loki, but also someone else. And I forget how those games go.
Well, it's like, he's just a vehicle for like very garden variety, violent power fantasy stuff.
Well, no, and the like later games
in the most recent game, they suddenly decided now let's do a narrative and
because
it's
all
be
of the
poignant tale about his relationship with his son.
Well, because all of the game developers grew up sort of families and now the game is about fatherhood, like way too many video games are about fatherhood. Yeah, there are games where, like, I mean, Dishonored 2 is like this, too, where it's like, you're just either Corvo or his daughter, the Empress, and you have to sort of, like, take that, you just have to sort of embody that character when you play the game. So, like, when I play Dishonored 2, I might be like, well, what would the Empress do? But in a game like Baldur's Gate, where I've made my own character, and I have a lot of dialogue options, I'm going to be like, what would I do as my character? So it's like, how much I am becoming the character really depends on what game I'm playing.
So let me, I guess, ask this, and this is not me trying to be like cagey or asking gotcha questions, more of like a devil's advocate or just a genuine lack of knowledge about this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. What is an example then of a video game that has a very sort of like well-defined, if not three-dimensional, then two-dimensional protagonist that was adapted into a movie and didn't work?
Uncharted?
Uncharted is a good one. I think Max Payne is another one.
Yeah. Uncharted is like literally when you play the game Uncharted, you are sort of almost like, I mean, it's interactive, but if you play it on like normal to easy, it's kind of child's play. And it is basically just like a bunch of action-y set pieces to make you feel like you were Indiana Jones.
Okay, that's sort of what I thought that was.
Yeah,
okay.
You're going through like an Indiana Jones style adventure as Nathan Drake, this guy who like is kind of a bit of a scoundrel, but claims to want to find all these hidden treasures for good causes. And inevitably, it's always some bullshit, like the city of El Dorado is some fucking statue that kills you or something. I forget it does, but it's, you know.
So then I guess for something like that, so then did any of you guys see the Uncharted movie?
I did not because I was a little peeved about the Mark Wahlberg thing being silly. Sure. I understand that they went for like, and I actually do think that Tom Holland is a good looks fit for a younger Nathan Drake. There are cut scenes in some of the later Nathan Drake games where you go to like you have these flashbacks where you're like teenage Nathan. And it's like when Sully in that age looks younger. So he doesn't have like, he's like old. He's like, you know, white hair, gruff, old. And in the past, he maybe is closer to Mark Wahlberg, except not really at all. He doesn't have the vibe fit is, again, way off. I don't know if Mark Wahlberg really insisted on this role or if they were like, we got to get Mark Wahlberg for this.
Yeah.
Terrible choice either way.
So for something like this, again, a movie that we have not seen, is the fault then in the casting then or the decision to tell the story that is effectively a prequel to a video game?
I don't think that the story is the video game, any of the video game stories. I think you could have. The thing is, there's different levels of like how adaptable a video game story is. Prince of Persia: Sands of Time and Uncharted, any of the Uncharted games, are almost one to one. Just like change stuff, trim it as if it were a novel, make it a movie. There's not a lot of like, I guess you'd say the narrative is like on rails in those games. There's nothing you can do except die at some point that changes how the game ends, right? Yeah. There's games like Disco Elysium, Baldur's Gate 3, where there's a million ways the game can end. And in the middle of that, there's a million ways the game can change while you're playing it. So it's like, you know, how are you going to tell the one definitive? You kind of have to either do your own thing or pick a version of that narrative that makes sense.
So this would then kind of be another failure of making an adaptation of a property, but not really caring too much about what necessarily made it interesting to people in the first place.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think if they just did the first Nathan Drake movie, or game rather, it would have worked. It should have worked. I mean, Sands of Time should have worked, but they did change a fair amount of stuff about the Sands of Time as well. They had this element of like somebody trying to take over the kingdom or some nonsense. Like Ben, I don't think that Ben Kingsley, the evil vizier, was like a thing in the video game.
I don't think so either.
In the video game, it was like there was some other kingdom was visiting and the Sands of Time got unleashed. And then in the end of the game, you find out that the prince actually shit goes so fucking fucked. And then somehow the prince manages to go back in time 2 days before they actually arrive and shit goes wrong. And he's actually, the whole time that he's been narrating the game, he's been narrating it to the female character, lead of the game, who is the part was like with him for the adventure. And he's trying to tell her, like, we got to not let this happen tomorrow because it goes bad. And which is like a nice twist, but they didn't do any of that. any of that story.
Is there a video game movie that you can think of that very faithfully follows the story of a video game that is a more plot heavy video game?
I mean, I'll look at that list, but I don't think that there is one. I don't think
curious if like such a thing exists at all.
I mentioned it earlier, but Max Payne does like a semi-decent job of following the plot of the first game. I would say the issue is similar to what was being described by Lee. There was a misunderstanding of what made that game interesting. Mm-hmm. And about 50% of that appeal was something they weren't going to be able to capture appropriately in the movie, which was that like it was one of the first games to do like a bullet time thing, like where it's like slow-mo and you can like do lots of gunplay. And they put that into the movie. It's just a very different experience to watch that passively than it is to like do it yourself in the game. But I'd say the other thing that they drastically misunderstood was the game is pretty much like a parody of like it goes for being like an overwrought film noir thriller. And the style of it is meant to look very pulpy and comic booky and over the top. And there's a lot of jokes. And then the movie decided we're going to play all of this so fucking seriously. And I think the story that worked when there was some amount of humor to kind of undercut it became insufferable, played so straight. And they also, like, there's general themes of like the idea of Ragnarok and the end of the world, but they're not literal in the game. They're just sort of invoked for mood. In the movie, they turn it into a thing of like, oh, he's having visions of the end times and there's like weird winged creatures coming out of the sky that maybe other people can't see. And it's like, why did you choose this game to make a movie out of it if you weren't going to make it a sort of like a somewhat of a parody noir? And I don't know. It's, I almost wonder sometimes if the decision, like, sometimes I think if you make a decision to adapt a book or something, there's something to this idea of like, wow, this story is amazing. I want to make it visual. But I feel like very rarely, if ever, is a video game adapted for artistic reasons. At my understanding would be that it's commissioned by a larger business entity because they want to expand the money that that franchise or that brand is making. And I think if you start there, you're probably not going to give a shit about how faithful it may or may not be, how effectively it adapts themes, how effectively it manages the jump from video game to movie, because I don't think that's the goal. The goal is to just create a branded product.
Yeah, I would argue too that like if you want it, like, again, these games that we've kind of talked about that have strong narratives and don't have a lot of branches and they don't really have any variation in the plot. I think, again, they're adapted like Uncharted and other ones because people like Uncharted, but they're poor choices narratively because it's like, I would prefer, and I have done this, just gone on YouTube and looked at people make cinematic playthroughs of games. Like, I could watch someone play Uncharted, it skips all the times they fucking die. It like skips through like the fight. So instead of the fights being like 10 minutes of weeding out guys, it just kind of makes a couple interesting shots. People edit it together pretty nicely usually. I would rather do that and I'd get the same story with the original quite good voice acting of all the people involved, then have to like then watch a new movie. Like, I just don't need a new movie of that. I would appreciate a movie of like an older game like Sands of Time, because you know it couldn't quite look as good as Uncharted maybe, but right. Yeah, I would rather have, I don't know, someone adapt a narrative that maybe you like has branches or it does something different, or maybe doesn't have as much of a concrete plot, and just see what they do with it. I mean, again, like if we talk about, we talked about a little bit offline about like board games mm-hmm. adaptations and how like Clue is very fun mm-hmm. because they had to come up with a lot of shit, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now like Super Mario, they had to come up with a lot of shit, and they did that twice, and neither of them are very good, I would say. Mm-hmm. But I mean, at least they had to do something there.
I would right. say like it's sort of adjacent to the board game thing, but like I thought the most recent adaptation of Dungeons & Dragons was really well yeah. done, because it smartly decided to adapt, because it's not really a set story. It's like a collection of elements that you can combine into.
I would say in that case, like they nailed the vibe of D&D, of what people mm-hmm. like about D&D. And for example, Silent Hill, the movie, doesn't adapt a particular game story, but I think that they understood the assignment on the vibes.
And they kind of pastiche the general, like they nail the vibes, and then they sort of pastiche some right. of the stories.
Yeah, I mean, Silent Hill, again, this is my understanding just based off of what I know. It's almost functions as more kind of like a best of than an actual yes. translation of a Silent Hill game, where it's yes. like hitting, you know, certain characters that you might like in the video game, aesthetics, mm-hmm. music, what have you. So I guess also kind of going off of all of this, and going also off what you guys were saying about just board games in general, my inclination just sort of listening to all of this then is to say that maybe you, like the abstract you, would have a better time adapting a video game if it was more of an open sandbox style video yes. game versus a plot heavy one.
Yeah.
Because that kind of allows yeah. you to sort of put your own stamp on it. It allows you also to kind of shove in whatever dumb notes a studio exec is going to give you, you know, and be like, oh, we need Jack Black in here somewhere. So you can be like, okay, fine, Jack Black is this rando guy or some shit, not yeah. like a beloved character who kids like associate with being like one personality right. type, then all of a sudden it's Jack Black. So I guess I'm almost inclined to say that maybe adapting like a plot heavy video game is almost just kind of a fool's errand in the first place, because if you're interested in the plot, you could just play the video game or watch someone else play the video game.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. Maybe that's something to consider.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes the downside of those things is like to get the full story of the video game, quite long. Mm-hmm. I sat through all of Death Stranding. Depending on what you care about, that's at least an 8-hour investment to sit yep. through the plot of Death Stranding. Yep. Mm-hmm. And there's other like side quests and nonsense that can make it longer. It doesn't help. I don't understand a second of what that game is about, by the way. I mean, I do, but I'm being glib, but it is nonsense. I don't care. People think Hideo Kojima, genius. I'm here to tell you that game make no sense. but anyway.
I think maybe what we might be coming to is like a very plot heavy video game, particularly one that's very long. Death Stranding is a great example. And I think we've seen recent examples of this being true. I think TV adaptations are probably a better idea. Because video games are typically very episodic, because they have to comprise a lot of different things that you're doing, right?
Yeah.
And TV allows that a lot better than a movie.
But like limited series, like, you know, it doesn't need correct. To be like, you know, 4 to 8 episodes of right. like an hour long thing would get you through.
Right. I mean, like, yeah, like going off of what you were saying, Lee, like some, like, you know, to faithfully adapt the story would be 8 hours, which is clearly too long for a movie. So therefore, like the other challenge, I guess, would be if you are doing a movie, you're really hacking away at like this story to whittle it down to 2.5 hours versus
and
a series.
I do think that like part of what makes video games special is that you spend more time with them. And so you get, that's how you get more attached to the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And so like again, the very successful Last of Us TV show mm-hmm. probably helps that you get to know those characters for longer.
I would also say Fallout, very similar. Mm-hmm. But it also kind of marries that idea about adapting not a specific story but more a setting. They very yeah. smartly adapted the world and told a new story inside of it. I do want to maybe make one caveat. I think one type of plot-heavy game that would work as a mostly one-to-one adaptation into film would probably be something like a point-and-click adventure. They are typically not as long, They're also not usually as mechanics heavy, because everything you're doing in theory is supposed to be supporting the narrative anyway. Mm-hmm. And each little like thing you do advances the narrative further. They're also made already sort of meant to be somewhat of a playable film in some ways, because you are just sort of piloting a character around a pre-rendered world and just sort of responding to events as they happen.
Yeah. But I would argue playing... that, yeah, depending on the game, like there are different scales of games. Mm-hmm. Like I think Disco Elysium, while it could ostensibly be adapted into a tight detective
so
movie, I would like it to be a miniseries, because so much of the game is about the town you're in. Like it's not even really a town, it's like a shithole, but like the sort of area you're in with like all of the characters and the people, and like the fact that despite the fact that you have to solve this murder, you spend a lot of the time inevitably like just yakking it around to people, playing board games with your partner, because you're like, I don't want to solve crime right now, I want to do this, or like
trying to find out if there's like ghosts in the building. Start a rave club for a bunch of very kindly drug addicts.
Yeah, like that's what makes the game special. And so if you just did a version of a movie of Disco Elysium where they just solve the crime and they don't do any of the side quests, that's a bad adaptation, because nobody cares about that. They care about the girl that works at the Frit store, or like the bookseller lady who thinks her shop is haunted.
I think also one thing, and Disco Elysium would make an amazing season of television, if not maybe two, because there is a lot in there. Yeah. I think maybe in general, and I don't think this is true in all cases, but I think maybe a good rule of thumb, and we can use Borderlands as a great example. Borderlands is what's called a looter shooter. The whole reason for the season is to just have a chaotic fun time with your friends collecting more and more absurd guns. The story is sort of just an excuse to tie things together, right? So already that's not a good move.
I would tell you that Borderlands 2 and on does try to have a plot, and they try to get you to care about when characters die. But if you're playing with friends, you can't hear that over you yelling to your friends. You're like, what? Who died?
So I think just as there's books that wouldn't make good movies and whatnot, I think you just need, I mean, I doubt it'll ever happen for as long as the decision is made on property is popular, therefore let's expand the IP with a movie. As long as that's the deal, I don't think this ever gets considered. But I think you just need to choose a video game that has as much, if not more, narrative value than mechanical play value.
Yeah.
Just because otherwise, let's say they actually did do like an otherwise really good Borderlands adaptation. It, in all likelihood, will not feel as good as playing it, because the joy of Borderlands is in doing all of that stuff yourself.
Yeah.
I think it's different if you're already choosing a game where you're just experiencing a story.
So is there, what are some video game movies that you believe have successfully adapted the game that they're based on spiritually, if not literally?
I mean, for my money, I think Silent Hill's pretty close.
Yeah, I would agree.
I appreciate what it did. I like that.
It's also just a freaky movie. It's a good time.
It did this thing with like a lot of Silent Hill games are like guys looking for their wives or their daughters, and they're like, hey, let's give woman a chance.
Yeah. Where's all the men at?
There's virtually no men in it. Which I love. I think that's fun. Which is also fitting for Silent Hill, which a lot of its stories go back to themes of like birth and motherhood. And
yeah.
Trying to think of what other video game movies have been successful. There's really not that many, unfortunately.
So, like, I would say that the newer Super Mario Brothers movie, the CGI one, was more done in by like sort of modern children's
animated
movie,
yeah, like
antics
what you
than
expect
anything else.
From, yeah,
I just keep thinking of like the Peaches song and how stupid it is and just not funny. But there
not
are
really
like
popular,
genuinely
though.
Funny bits. But I think the idea to sort of like do this, you know, wacky Mario movie where like they go into the Mario world, and then there's like the at some point they do Smash Brothers and they do Mario Kart and they have to go on Rainbow Road. Like, I think that was a good decision to just kind of have a like mix and match. If they had stopped to play tennis, I would have been like, yes, that's a great choice. Like just do like a full on Mario tennis moment in the movie. Like, I think that was a smart idea, and I think more could have been. That could have been done maybe more knowingly, knowing that a lot of parents are there in the crowd who are familiar with the sort of evolution of Mario games. I think you could have leaned into that.
It's not like an amazing movie by any stretch, but I think the Resident Evil, the first one, I don't really like any of the sequels, but the very first Resident Evil, while not some incredible feat of film, I think does a pretty good job of adapting the first, kind of the first game.
I mean, what's her name? She's not in the games, but...
Mila Jovovich?
Yeah, but that would be something that Umbrella Corps would do.
Yeah.
Like, they wouldn't have, like, done some weird, let's clone some people and fill them with a weird virus that makes them into a spooky monster.
I mean, it's similar to, it is more of, I think, a spiritual adaptation than a direct one.
Yeah.
But they contact some things that are very true about the series, which is like escalatingly absurd levels of mad science, lots of like specialized military units going into labs and stuff, like crazy, unlikely traps. Gave us plenty of those. Gave us lots of implausible, like, action set pieces. So, like, maybe what we're driving at here is, at least what we've seen so far, with things as they are, maybe the best bet is to adapt a sandbox, or at least aim for a spiritual adaptation, but not a direct one.
Go ahead.
No, I didn't have anything else.
Okay. I think that as someone who has not played the specific game that it is based upon, I liked Detective Pikachu because mostly the world building I thought was very fun in the movie. You know, it was more just sort of this is what a world would look like if you lived in a world where Pokemon existed. And I can't speak to how faithfully it adapted the video game. I understand, my understanding is that the broad strokes are pretty much the same. But again, maybe that's the sort of thing that you kind of want to go for. If you're going for something like, go for a sort of a simplistic story and then just kind of go bug nuts on all of the things that you can control and can bring to the table in a movie that you can't necessarily get in a video game. So, you know, you can have a scene where like Jigglypuff's singing in a nightclub in a movie, and you might not necessarily have something like that in a video game. You know, like, you can just sort of focus on sort of like the cinematic tropes that you might get to play around with when you're doing a movie versus when you're doing a video game. So I don't know. Maybe sandbox is kind of the conclusion that this episode is indeed building to.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue, like, Detective Pikachu, the weird thing about that, I think it came out like before or concurrent to the release of the game in America. So, like, I didn't think they remember the game. Like, obviously, Pokemon game. And right, also, Pokemon has a rich lore of like, other media anyway. It's got manga and anime, so much of it. You have, like, you're not building something from nothing on Detective Pikachu. Like, people have done so much nonsense with, like, imagining how Pokemon are integrated into the weird daily life of people in Poke World or whatever. and this one just kind of does maybe a little bit more of, like, a, I don't want to say mature, but, like, I don't know, more, like, a grounded slash tongue-in-cheek
version. I would say if the anime is for, like, 7 to 9-year-olds, the movie is for 12-year-olds.
Yeah. I sort of dread to think of what Hollywood would do with like a Minecraft movie, but for my money,
it's almost like a Lego movie, right? Like, you could just do Lego
again. I think for my money, I would want to see jokes about modded Minecraft in there. Like, I would want to see like a bit where like the mod doesn't work right, or it breaks the game, or like, you know, obviously all the creeper antics. But I sort of dread again, like the I think it's hard to do with like kids games because I don't know, kids humor and it's bad. Like, I don't think it has to be, because I don't think kids care. Kids don't have that nuance. Mm-hmm. But whoever's making humor for kids these days needs to stop.
No, I agree. I mean, it is that sort of, again, going back to the Mario, it is that kind of like DreamWorks-y sort of thing, even though, of course, the Mario movie was Blue Sky, I believe, not DreamWorks. But it is kind of like there is this general mentality of, if you're making a movie that is all geared toward kids, you need to have these kind of things. Like, you need to have the needle drops, you need to have the pop culture references, you need to have a couple jokes that mom and dad will get, but kids will be stymied by that sort of crap.
Yeah.
And it's like, it kind of, I'm mildly interested in the threatened Legend of Zelda movie that's supposedly going to happen at some point. Like, I'm a little intrigued to see if that will end up, again, much like Mario, if there will be, you know, like a dance sequence over the end credits, or, you know, some character is going to dab, or someone else will stay very demure during it, or some shit
that's
like
CGI
that.
CGI or live action?
I think it's CGI, but I don't know for sure. I meant to look, I mean, because, like, on the one hand, you could have it be sort of like, you know, know, a Miyazaki style sort of thing, and like the sort of like, yeah, you know, contemplative, I mean, beautiful sort of look to it. But on the other hand, you could end up with Mario
doing that kind of like, you know, they dance over the credits or they make a demure joke would be like that would be like a death blow. Like,
oh, I agree. That would be sickening.
Even
legitimately upsetting if Zelda did that.
I would argue, like, even kids who play Zelda know that that should not be what they expect out of a Zelda game.
I would hope they do, but little kids are very dumb.
Like,
that's
Zelda, yeah,
the
Zelda franchise is Nintendo's, like, you know, you are on an epic quest.
Right.
It's very serious. Like, a lot of the Zelda games can be, some of them can be quite grim. Like, you know, Twilight Princess, very dark.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the end of the world is nigh. Like,
right.
Breath of the Wild, 100 years have passed. You've been mortally injured in a coma for 100 years.
Yeah.
There's some crazy
stuff.
So,
like, so I would hope that if this Zelda movie actually happens, and I know very little about it except that it's supposedly something that's like closer now to happening than has ever been before, I would hope that that's something that's taken into consideration. The idea that Zelda needs to have kind of a more quiet, contemplative tone than like a loud, flashy, pop culture-y tone. But who the fuck knows? As we've talked about in this episode, so many times these things have been done horribly. So, you know, who's to say at this point?
Have you guys heard much about Secret Level, Amazon Prime's new show coming out?
No.
Really? Okay, well, I'm happy to be the first to tell you that they announced it at Gamescom, and it is like a limited series anthology by the people who did like Love, Death, Robots, and every episode is a different game property that's being adapted. It does also include a Dungeons & Dragons and one other like weird sort of amorphous concept, but... a lot of the games in it are games I have no context for. And so it's going to be hard for me to, like, I might watch it, but I don't really know a lot of these games. It's like Armored Core. I've never played that. God of War. I know only the very basics. Mega Man's in there. So that'll be interesting. A lot of this too is very synergy, because like two of these games, not out yet, are being released and promoted by the show. Conquered and Exodus, games that don't exist yet. Honor of Kings, New World Eternum, don't know those. Pac-Man, Spelunky, very popular game. The Outer Worlds, that's that sci-fi RPG. And Unreal Tournament, Warhammer 40K, and I've played none of these.
Oh dear, I played Unreal Tournament, D&D. And I played Warhammer 40K. Is that what it's going to be?
Yeah. Well, Warhammer 40K isn't like it's not one game. It's like a million games.
And it's also tabletop.
It's a tabletop. It's a world.
It's a lot of things.
But yeah, I don't know, you know, maybe we can sync back on this. But unfortunately, I don't have a lot to say about a lot of this because I don't know most of these games. So I'm not that hype about it. I haven't even played a Mega Man game in my life. I've seen a lot of Mega Man in action, but I've never played a Mega Man game. Don't really care to. But yeah, so it's an interesting choice. It's sort of a new entry in this adaptation genre where it's like shorts, a bunch of shorts.
Maybe we can check them out and then toggle back.
Yeah. So, all right. Great discussion. Guys, come back at us in
2 weeks.
We'll talk about Love's Labor's Lost. I'm excited. You're excited. We'll be drinking
We're
a nice
excited.
Cocktail.
Hey, nonny, nonny, all that
hey,
crap.
Hey, nonny, nonny. With a hey, nonny, nonny.
Hey, nonny, nonny.
Much ado, technically. That
yeah, thing. I know. It is much ado. I remember.
Yeah. All right. Guys, 2 weeks. Love's Labor's Lost.
Yep.
See you then.
Bye.
Bye.